I'd also like to acknowledge the traditional owners of this land and pay my respects to elders past, present and emerging. So my paper is going to talk about increasing HP vaccinations in WA schools. This was a little formative study funded by the Health Department of Western Australia to look at how we can actually increase completion of HP vaccinations. So we've heard a little bit about HP vaccinations already and just heard from the gentleman in the audience how much they cost if you go and get them yourself. So in Western Australia, we have a decent uptake of HP vaccination, but not quite as good as Australia. So in 2017 in Australia, 80% of kids had their three doses. 80% of girls had their three doses. In Western Australia, it was about 77%. For boys, it was about 75% in Australia and similar for Western Australia. So given that it's free and given that it happens in schools, why do we don't have everyone taking it up? So our little study was a mixed method study. We conducted an online survey where we targeted senior administrators. So this went to the principal, but some principals passed it on to deputy principals or another relevant person, and also immunisation nurses. So in Australia, we vary a little bit about who administers our vaccinations. In Western Australia, immunisation nurses administer our vaccinations. The school nurses don't do it. A team comes in and does it. In Western Australia too, because we're a little bit different, at the time of the study, the students that were getting the HPV vaccination were year eight. So year eight students would be turning either 13 or 14 in the school year. This year, we're doing a catch-up, so our Year 7 and our Year 8 students will all be vaccinated, and then from next year onwards, we'll be vaccinating Year 7, so we'll be a little bit more in line with the rest of Australia. So we also conducted focus groups with 70 students, 10 focus groups, and we targeted low-uptake schools in the Perth metropolitan area. We had two Catholic, three independent, and five government schools. In Western Australia, our best rates of completion are amongst our Catholic schools, followed by our independent schools and then our government schools. And we also conducted 22 parent interviews from the same schools, but those parents weren't necessarily the same parents of the kids that did the focus groups. Our focus groups were all mixed gender focus groups, and they were all mixed gender schools. There weren't any single sex schools. So just really quickly looking at some of the results from our survey, we asked a whole range of questions. I've just picked out a couple of the responses. This was looking at the most common reasons for parents not consenting or postponing HP vaccination by school type. So we had, when we had more than one response from a school, from a nurse or from a principal, we just used one of those responses and we used the principal's response. And participants were asked what they thought, well, why parents didn't provide consent. So just looking at some differences between the school sectors, we had some significant differences for religious reasons, which is possibly not surprising. And we also had some significant differences because parents didn't understand what they were consenting to because the consent forms weren't available in their language. This was reflected a little bit in the focus groups and the parent interviews as well. We also looked at some barriers for students not receiving the HP vaccination. So some of the barriers were things like anxiety about needles, student absenteeism, and student absenteeism has come across really strongly in a lot of the HPV data. And it's probably one of the main factors for kids not getting their vaccination, apart from not returning the consent form, is not turning up to school on the immunisation day. Okay, so when we talk to kids and to parents, I'm still on the survey, jumping ahead of myself, looking at some of the enablers for HP vaccination. So some of the things that principals and school nurses and immunisation nurses said were might enable HP vaccination was providing education about HP vaccination to parents and students. promoting and providing general information about the HP vaccination online, sending out reminders for return of consent forms, and providing education about HP immunisation and vaccination to students during class time. So when we talked to the kids, most of the kids didn't know what HP vaccination was. So some of the kids that came along to the focus groups, because they knew that we were talking about HP vaccination, had done a little bit of Googling and had found out a little bit about it. But almost all of them said when they had the vaccination, they had no idea what the vaccination was for. Some had a very vague understanding. Some had a vague understanding that there was something associated with cancer. Some had a vague understanding that there was something associated with STIs. But they didn't really have a good understanding. They also didn't have a good understanding of the other vaccinations that they got at that time as well. So when they had their first vaccination, they were getting two vaccinations. So they got their diphtheria tetanus vaccination as well. However, what was really encouraging was that kids generally felt that vaccinations were important. They thought they probably should know more about them, but they did think that it was important to have the vaccinations. Most students also indicated that the parents had provided consent without much or any discussion. And that was reflected when we talked to the parents as well. Most of the parents said they hadn't talked much to their kids. A few of them had said that the actual process had provided a little bit of an opportunity, but they talked more about immunisation in general and some of the things that might happen when you get immunised. Parents didn't tend to have great knowledge of HPV vaccination or HPV themselves either. The students who had parents who were born overseas also suggested that their parents were very supportive, and this came out in the parent interviews. So we had quite a few students in our focus groups and also parents from culturally and linguistically diverse groups. A lot of those parents were very, very supportive because they said in their home country they didn't get free vaccinations and this was a wonderful opportunity. However, a lot of them couldn't read the consent forms and the kids actually had to translate the consent forms themselves. So we went to one school where pretty much everyone in our focus group had a parent who was born in another country, and most of them had two parents, and most of those kids were translating the forms themselves. And those parents certainly would be very supportive of having some more information in different languages. It was quite important too, from both student perspective and parent perspective, to have information that was fairly readily accessible because parents were very busy. So similar to the students, parents also had a varying level of knowledge about HPV. One parent saying, well, to prevent cervical cancer in the young girls, I think. And there was also some bit of a misconception about the benefits of HPV vaccination for boys, with quite a few parents suggesting that the main benefit for boys is that they don't infect girls. Some suggested that the information sent home with the school-based immunisation program was sufficient, but then others said they couldn't recall seeing it, or maybe they didn't have time to have a look at it. But all parents felt that it was important to provide some information, with one person saying, yes, maybe like a proper booklet that comes home with the kids that says how dangerous it is, how things spread and all that, and how you can stop it. And maybe what's in it, because, oh my goodness, the amount of anti-vaxxers that they're on Facebook and social media at the moment, it's awful, scary. So parents were also generally supportive of vaccinations. However, we did have a few parents and a few kids in our focus groups and interviews that didn't support HPV because of the association with STIs. So one parent saying, I don't want my children to feel that they can literally be, I always say that word wrong, promiscuous. And this parent also felt that it was not appropriate for 12-year-olds to have the vaccination, however felt it would be acceptable once they turn 18. So in some countries they have the HPV vaccination at as young as 9, and I think there's actually some benefits associated with having it younger. Now I come from, that person said, now I come from a Jewish background, so I'm Christian and therefore come from the whole perspective of not sleeping around, especially children like 12-year-olds. On the other hand, having said that, if your child or if my child is 18 and was in a relationship with the guy who's been sleeping around, there's no reason why they can't have the HP vaccination then. So some parents discuss the school-based immunisation program as providing a good opportunity for conversation. And as I mentioned previously, it was usually around immunisation as opposed to HPV specifically. Most parents didn't discuss HPV in relation to STIs. And if STIs were raised, it was mostly discussed within the context of their own belief system around sexual behaviour. Well, they obviously asked, well, what was it for? So we told them it was for cervical cancer, in particular our daughter, obviously, and for penile cancer for our son. And just basically that was helped him to get either one of those. So there was some knowledge of associations with cancer, but nothing too deep. Okay, what was really encouraging is that the students and parents in our study placed a lot of trust in the school and also the Department of Health. They felt vaccinations were safe and felt a level of trust in the process as they were being administered at school and they were being provided by the government. They also considered the process to be safe and hygienic. And the school was also seen as a good environment as it wasn't associated with illness as opposed to a healthcare centre. And there was a range of comments related to that. I trust the school, so whatever the school is giving to my children, I trust them. It's good for them, so I let them. So there was very much that overarching trust in the system. Majority of kids said that they had the vaccinations because it was something the government provided. It must be good, it must be safe. So out of that, there was a range of different recommendations. And I should say I've only presented a really small part of this study, so just looking at the knowledge and attitudes. We also did some comparisons with health department data and looked at low dosage schools. And we also looked at the process of the vaccination, the school-based vaccination process as well. So our recommendations were to increase awareness of the school-based immunisation program in general. Although the kids were saying that they were having the vaccination, they didn't really, even though they didn't understand what it was, all of the kids said they would have liked to have known more and they felt that they probably should have known more before they had the vaccination. So an increased knowledge of awareness of HPV and HPV immunisation amongst parents, students and educators. Include activities for schools to implement as part of their health or other classes to enhance awareness of HPV in the vaccination process. We did ask the kids quite a lot about what they'd like to know, where they'd like to get that information, and overwhelmingly they suggested that health education classes would be a good start. Some of them suggested that they had actually had some information in other classes as well, so through English, so whatever is most appropriate for the school. But there are opportunities to link to immunisation through the national curriculum. Interestingly, the national and the Western Australian curriculum doesn't have any really specific indicators to immunisation. So that's something to advocate for and to work on. Provide information for parents, and that might be needed to be delivered in different formats. So some parents wanted face-to-face discussion. Majority of parents did, however, suggest that they wanted something that was quick, easy, accessible. A lot of schools use Facebook, other forms of social media. In Western Australia, we have some schools using Sector, some using Connect, and they came out really strongly as to be really good places to provide information to parents. And also providing simple information for parents, but also links to evidence-based information for those parents that want some more detailed information. Other recommendations include to support schools to increase consent with a focus on schools with lower consent rates, which tend to be the schools with higher culturally and linguistically diverse kids and also in lower socioeconomic areas. Some of our remote schools have fairly low rates of consent and low rates of completion, and that is a lot associated with transient nature and kids actually not being at school on the actual immunisation day. So looking at other ways that we can catch up and mop up. and in doing that, support schools to increase completion, so catch-up days. And I'm just looking at the timer. I think I'm pretty much on time. So thank you to the Health Department for funding this project. This project has morphed a little bit, and through the Kirby Centre, we're working with in a NHMRC partnership grant, which is looking at HP immunisation in New South Wales, Western Australia and Tasmania. So we're able to start to look at implementing some of the strategies that we have recommended based on some of this research and also some of the research that's been done through that project. I'd also like to thank all the schools, senior administrators, nurses, parents and students who participated, and to all of our project officers who participated in the who helped us with the project as well. Thank you.